This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
I think I've got a stumper for you this week.
What vegetable did an ancient Egyptian place his right hand when taking an oath?
That's funny, Jim?
It is. Ta-dum, 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 ta-dum.
In a world where there is no humor.
Yes, it's Trivia Friday. We come to your rescue today. Are you tired of all the electioneering? Are you tired of the political ads? Are you tired of the political bickering? And we're just talking about in your household.
No,
we're
I'm not.
We're not even talking about in society. Then we have the answer for you, folks. It is Trivia Friday, 888-589-8840 is the number to call. If you want to get on this here show, Ed Vitagliano, Jim Stanley, and Kendra White
out of the bullpen.
We have Kendra White. Kendra, welcome back. You've been on here before.
It is good to be here. I'm always nervous.
But are you really?
Because you know someone's going to ask a question that you're going to be like, you should know that answer.
Oh,
but public, you know,
don't sweat. We don't
care. Public humiliation. Yeah.
We don't care.
Okay.
If you do mess up, we will point it out.
Yes. So, we will.
Where are the tomatoes?
Where are the tomatoes? Well, Tim Wildman is out. J.J. Jasper's out. Jim, do you know where J.J. is?
I do. Well, he's probably headed home this morning. But last night, he was at the Center for Pregnancy Choices at Crossway Church in Vicksburg.
Oh, okay.
Earlier this week, he was in Colorado Springs, Colorado, recording with Dr. James Dobson for Family Talk.
Yes, and he and his wife, Melanie, were both there.
And Melanie were there. And so he's been a busy guy. He has, let me tell you, folks, you know, in the afternoon, we do a show Exploring the Word on most of these stations with Bert and Alex. Well, I fill in for Alex sometimes. I fill in for Bert sometimes. But the question we have is, you remember Where's Waldo?
Right.
Yeah, okay. I do.
Well, our general question for the afternoon is, where's Alex?
Because he does go all over the place.
He is all over the place.
Goodness.
And so the same is true for JJ this month. And he's already committed to not lining it up like this again for next year.
You need to give him a shirt with stripes on it and just make it an actual game. Like take a picture where he is.
Where he is.
Let people guess on Facebook.
And I think he is scheduled the rest of this month.
Yeah. Next week he is at the Alpha Center. First Assembly Family Life Center. Unfortunately, the calendar does not tell me the city. So
okay.
Anyway, we'll find that information out. But if you want JJ to come to your community, by the way, that's in Batesville, Arkansas. It helps when you click on it.
Okay.
Things become clearer. So if you're in Batesville next week, Batesville, Arkansas, be sure to go by the First Assembly Family Life Center. JJ will be there Thursday night. And if you want JJ in your community, it's really simple. Simply visit jjjasper.com. No periods, no parentheses, no nothing. No. Just jjjasper.com.
And we would kindly ask you to refrain from asking him to come for the rest of the year so he could actually be at work.
He would remind you that he has children to feed.
Yes, that's right. He has to feed hungry children. My hungry children, he'll say. All right. It is Trivia Friday. This is how we play the game. When you call in, we invite you to ask us a question, answer a question, or do both. We like for you to do both. You don't have to. Our only rule is that if you have gotten on the air in the last 4 weeks, we ask you to wait a week to give as many other people the opportunity to try to get on as possible. 888-589-8840. Now, we're going to ask our questions and open up the phone lines. One of these nine questions, however, is going to be the mystery question. And that means if you call in and you answer the question correctly, you will hear this sound. The cowbell. You know, we need to have a different sound next year.
Well, I was simply going to ask, since Tim is not here today, you could have also come up with a substitute sound.
Oh, man.
Well, it's just too much. It's just too much effort.
Too much pressure?
Yeah, okay. too much pressure. And Tim might be listening, and he loves the cowbell. He loves them cowbells. All right, Jim, we're going to let you start off. Go ahead and ask your questions.
All right, today is National Candy Day.
I love it.
Do you? You're already there,
I'm there. I'm with you.
Now, I have a better question than I did last week for National Chocolate Day. However, since chocolate is also a candy,
yes,
how big is the world's largest chocolate bar?
Ooh. Huh. That's a great question.
There you go.
I think I might have eaten it last week during the weekend before.
Beautiful question. So, good
job.
It is.
All right. And then what color is a Himalayan poppy?
Wow.
What is a Himalayan poppy?
Because after all.
Which begs the question.
This is Learning University.
It is Learning University.
Poppy's like the flower?
Yeah, poppy
okay,
like the flower.
Like the Wizard of Oz. Like
yeah.
Poppy.
Poppy.
Okay.
Poppies.
Okay. All right. And then there are four chess pieces that can only move diagonally. What are they?
Uh-huh. Very good.
Do they have to know the correct term? Can they be like the horse one, the castle one? Like I still call them that.
Oh, do you?
So, yeah.
Wow. You know, the horsey.
The queen
I
one.
Take your horsey.
We've homeschooled our children. And
well, see, you were homeschooled, weren't you?
Yeah. You bring that up now.
Yeah.
You
wait
for this moment to bring up that
It didn't
fact.
Take long for you to embarrass your family, did it?
What I was going to say is that Colette called me this morning and said, hey, can you teach a class next semester? And so she was wanting me to teach a class on how to play chess.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh.
Because and so if that
can
were
I
the case,
up?
You can.
Right.
And,
be the
and
student
I would teach you not the castle and the horsey
All
thingy.
All right, here are my three questions. The Canadian Football League came into existence in 1958 and has the same rules as the National Football League. Is that true or false? A true-false question in honor of JJ.
There you go.
Bible question. In the Old Testament, how many books fall into the category of major prophets? Mm-hmm. How many books fall into the category of major prophets? And if you can name them, that'd be great. You're looking at me strangely.
Well, I just wonder, you know, is that kind of like in honor of the World Series just being completed? But
because
know,
the
major,
Cubs won?
Yeah, major league and minor league.
No, I wasn't thinking that way, but you can. That's fine. All right, third question. What was the first Disney animated feature film set in America? What was the first Disney animated feature film set in America? All right.
I don't know, but Beauty and the Beast is coming out in March, and I'm excited.
Well, hey, listen, my wife and I babysit, and as long as I don't have to listen to or watch Mary Poppins again.
Oh, don't hate on Mary.
Listen, 50 times. You know, last week, you guys weren't on the show, but somebody called, and I said the word chimney.
Right.
There was chimney.
Yes.
And I said chimney, and I said, I don't know why I said that. Well, my daughter-in-law texted me, and she said, it's because of chim chimney, chim chim chiru. And that just had slipped into my brain.
You're
so.
A good grandfather.
Anyway, I am. I'm awesome. Go ahead.
All right, here's my three questions. Number
and
one.
Humble.
The name Starbucks, like the coffee company, comes from what book in classical literature? Okay, is it Crime and Punishment, Moby Dick, or Great Expectations?
Wow.
Right?
There you
go.
That is a great question.
Well done.
All right. Question number two. In bowling, three consecutive strikes is called a turkey. What is four consecutive strikes called?
Impossible.
Really good.
Yeah. Really, really good.
For me, anyway.
I know this because I have been writing for our children's animation series called Ryan DeFrades with American Family Studios. And there's an episode that's like centered around bowling.
Hold on.
So I've been Googling bowling terms all week.
back up on that a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, yes.
Did you notice the casual drop-in for American Family Studios?
I've been writing an award-winning...
I just subtly threw that in there.
...animated feature film series that I mentioned that I'm the writer. No, that we're really looking forward to Ryan DeFrades when it comes out. Folks are going, I don't know anything about it. You will.
There you go.
All right.
Third question.
She's got one more.
Third
question.
Okay.
This is my Bible question. All right. So the Hanukkah is coming up, right? So did you know that Jesus actually celebrated Hanukkah? And it's mentioned in Scripture, but it's called something else. What is it called?
Oh, that's a great question.
Wow.
Great
Man.
Question.
I'm embarrassed about my questions now. I'm just saying. But Dave in Virginia, are you ready to go to the phones, sir?
Let's go to the phones.
All right. Dave in Virginia, and we are welcoming you to Trivia Friday.
Dave in Virginia.
And Dave, I'm going to put you on hold, turn your radio down, and you'll be able to talk to us instead of the delay, and that messes me up. So we're going to talk to Sean and come back to Dave in
we'll
just a moment.
We'll come back to Dave, okay.
I promise, we'll come back to Dave. Sean, welcome to Trivia Friday.
actually Stan, but I'll take Sean.
Okay, Stan. Okay.
Stan?
Yeah.
Did you say Stan?
Yes, sir.
All right,
can
Stan.
You hear me okay?
Yeah, Stan the man. You sound like you're in a tin can a little bit, but that's okay.
Stan in the tin can.
Stan in the can. All right. Sean, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I'll do both.
All right, which question you want to answer?
I really don't know much of anything today, but I'm going to try my shot at the bowling question.
Ooh, all right.
Here it is. We'll repeat it.
In bowling, three consecutive strikes is called a turkey. What are four consecutive strikes called?
Eagle.
Say it again.
Eagle.
Not an eagle. Good.
Not
good
an eagle.
Guess.
Nice
all
try.
Right. It is a good all try. Right. What's your question for us, Stan?
Okay. How many states in the United States are landlocked?
Ooh.
How many states in the United States are landlocked?
The ones in between the oceans.
Yes. Yes. So it would be, okay, so we're just going to talk amongst ourselves,
right,
Stan.
Right.
So, all right, well, obviously, Alaska and Hawaii are out. So I think it's going to be easier to count how many
perimeter.
Are out
right.
and then the rest of them. So
oh,
Hawaii, Alaska, Washington, Oregon, California.
Right.
All right. And then we have to go down.
New Mexico.
No, New Mexico's right. is landlocked.
Is it? Okay.
So then we have to go Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go right down the.
I've got you right here.
All right. You, all right.
You're at 10 so far.
You're at 10. Okay. And then we have to go Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia.
Right.
Let's see. North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas. How many is that?
All right, that is 21, but I did you say Delaware?
I don't think I did. All right, you're right, Delaware. So that's 30?
That is 20. That's 22.
22. So 28 would be.
You've got geography. He's got math. This is groupthink. I like
that's
this.
So we okay with 28?
I'm good with 28.
All right, 28's our answer.
You're close. It's 27.
Oh,
missed
that's really
something.
Close.
We missed something. I missed something. All right, well.
Our map.
That's it. Hmm.
Landlocked.
Hmm.
Oh, you know what? I wonder if we're counting the Great. You're not counting the Great Lakes, are you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well,
then it should be
well,
more than
be,
that.
Yeah, it's going to be more.
Well, anyway.
Hey, this, great question.
It is a great question. We're gonna have to.
And Ed showed off his geography, and I was able to make chicken scratches over
we
here.
We got pretty close anyway.
There we go.
All right, yep. Stan.
I'll give y'all a B plus. How about that?
Okay,
we'll take it.
All right,
that's better than our normal grade. Thanks, Stan. Have
Thanks,
a great
Stan.
Weekend. All right, as promised, coming back to Dave. Dave, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Good morning, brothers and sister.
Brothers
good
and sister.
Morning.
Good morning to you, Dave. Would you like to ask, answer, or do both?
I would like to do both, please.
Okay.
And the one that I would like to answer would be Jim's question number 3 about the chessboard question.
Okay, all right, here it is.
There are 4 chess pieces that can only move diagonally. What are they?
Well, that would be the bishops and the knights.
Well, it would be the bishops. They can only move diagonally. Remember, the knight moves into an L shape, be it a long L or a short L.
Well, can only move diagonally. Let's see, the rook can only go rank and file.
Right, but see now.
The king can go in any direction.
Yep.
The king can go in any direction, one square.
Yep, but the
pawn can only move forward.
Right, but the knight is not restricted to only diagonal. Remember, you've got two king's bishops and 2 queen's bishops, and they can only move on their color diagonally.
You're talking about both sides of the board.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
I'll take that as a correction.
All right. All right, brother.
Got the
what's
first
your,
one, though.
What's your question for us?
Okay.
And by the way, Kendra, the knight is the little horse thingy.
The horsey. Okay, so, I'm good. I'm
just
trekking.
For you.
I'm trekking. Thanks.
All right. All right, Dave, what's your question for us, brother?
Okay, I have a 2-part question. The first part of the question is, what does the we all know about D-Day, and we all do a lot of remembrance on June the 6th, which was the famous D-Day. What does the D in D-Day stand for?
All right, we're going to talk amongst ourselves here. Okay, now my understanding is that there's not really an answer for this. There are some guesses, and I've looked this up before, and they said nobody's actually sure.
Right.
It can mean one of several things.
One of the things I'd heard was because of Normandy, and they didn't want to give away the city, but I don't have a clue.
Yeah. Well, Dave, what's your take on this?
All right. In my lexicon, I'm the same as you. I've never heard a definitive answer. But in my lexicon, the D could only stand for departure.
Yeah, that was one of the guesses. When I looked this up, somebody asked Dwight Eisenhower, who was Supreme Allied Commander, and he said, "Well, we didn't have a real meaning for it."
Right.
But I have heard your answer, Dave, before, and I always thought that was as reasonable a meaning as anyone could have. So.
Yeah.
We'll give that to you.
I'm for you right there, yeah. Dave. And by the way, he has taken Learning University to a whole nother level. Whole nother level. The man broke out a lexicon.
A lexicon. Went lexicon on us.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great weekend. And right. He's gone.
Okay.
You ready to continue?
Let's go. Let's tear it up.
All right. Todd, North Carolina, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Todd.
I'd like to do both.
All right, sir.
Okay. Which one you want to try to answer?
I'm going to answer Kendra's Bible question.
Oh, wonderful.
Of course.
Wonderful.
Todd is our Bible sniper.
Great. All right. So the question is the Feast of Hanukkah. Jesus celebrated it. It's mentioned once in Scripture, but it's called something else. What is it called?
The Feast of Dedication.
That is correct.
Wow.
Great. Job.
And Todd, I know you know the answer to this. Tell our listeners what the Feast of Dedication actually celebrated, or Hanukkah?
Well, it goes back to after Antiochus Epiphanes was defeated and driven out of the Holy Land, and they miraculously had enough oil to light the menorah, you know, for 8
yes.
days.
That's right, and it's celebrated as a miracle. They actually only had enough oil to light the menorah for 1 day, but it lasted for the 8 days. So they celebrate that as a miracle of God's provision. So.
And it's mentioned in John chapter 10, verse 22. It talks about the Feast of Dedication. It was winter, and Jesus went up to Solomon's colonnade. And it's interesting because Jesus is the light of the world. He's kind of the fulfillment of that.
Good. I like that. I like it.
Well done.
That's right.
Todd, you got a question for us?
Yes, I do, and it's a Bible question.
Oh.
Ooh, all right.
Todd asks hard questions.
He asks very hard questions. Go ahead, Todd.
This was a pretty interesting one. This is one that I discovered, you know, just through just my reading of the Bible. But from what book of the Bible do we have the inspiration for the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness?
Ooh. Oh. The whole Bible.
Prove us wrong on that one.
Oh, gosh.
Psalm. I don't know, unless you guys have a
psalm.
Sounds like it'd be a psalm.
I don't remember. I'm going to go with psalm, because I think it's the 91st psalm.
91st?
I think.
Okay.
I think psalms is a great guess.
We're going to go with Jim, Psalm 91.
I'm sorry, but you're incorrect.
Well, that's not the first time.
what's the correct answer, Todd?
The correct answer is Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23.
Now, see, you don't think too much about getting happy in Lamentations.
I know,
no,
right?
I know.
But that would be a great place for finding the faithfulness
that's
of God.
True.
Do you have the scripture true. In front of you, Todd?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right.
It's in Lamentations 3. Birthday Dave just texted me.
Well, there you go.
Well, we will try to find that verse after the break, and we'll try to read it to our folks. Hey, Todd, thank you so much, brother. We appreciate you. Thanks for calling in and getting on the show again.
Okay, all of y'all have a great day.
You too, sir. God bless. All right, shall we move on?
Let's go.
All right, Terry in Texas, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Good morning.
Good morning. You want to ask, answer, or do both, Terry? Yeah.
Well, I'm a long-time caller and first-time listener.
Long-time caller, first-time listener.
Okay, so you're saying this is the first time you've ever gotten on?
Yeah. No, actually, I was on with Tim on Miracle Monday a little over a year ago.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for listening, and thank you for trying to get on. And now you have made it. So you want
to
ask?
I'm going to try to answer and ask a question.
All right. Which question you want to try to answer?
The major prophets.
All right. Here it is. And the old. Okay. Hey. Hang on, Terry. Let me go ahead and read the question again. In the Old Testament, how many books fall into the category of major prophets?
I'm probably wrong, but I'm going to say four.
Okay, that is wrong, but you're close. Yeah. So
I couldn't remember the fifth. I had four of them written down here on my notepad.
All right.
So I won't spoil it for the next caller.
Yeah, all right. Well, appreciate that. What's your question for us?
Okay, I've got a Bible question. When Joseph of Arimathea went to Pontius Pilate to ask for the body of Jesus, what question did Pontius Pilate ask him?
Ooh.
Repeat that question. I'm sorry. I was looking at Psalm 91.
When Joseph of Arimathea came to claim Jesus' body, what question did Pontius Pilate ask him?
Wow.
That's a great question. Do you guys have,
I don't recall him asking a question.
I don't.
To a new tomb.
Yeah.
He asked the question. He says, being a Orthodox Jew, why would you give up your family tomb to a convicted criminal? Mm-hmm. And Joseph of Arimathea said, it's no big deal. It's just for the weekend.
Where did you find that?
I think that's a joke. It's no big deal. It's just for a weekend.
Oh, I caught that part now. Yeah. I was so intrigued with the first part of that. He had me hook, line, and sinker.
I actually
stole that joke from Chuck Missler. He said that at one of his conferences, and I thought that was great.
It's no big deal.
No big
deal. Just for the weekend.
There you go.
All right. Hey, thank you, Terry. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And he's going to leave it clean when he leaves. He even folded up his burial cloth.
Well, folks, this is Trivia Friday. Ed Vitagliano, Jim Stanley, and Kendra White are your hosts. 888-589-8840 is the number to call if you want to get on the show. We're going to take a short break in just a moment, but I do want to let you know that we are asking people to pray and fast on Monday, the day before the election. If you want to go to afa.net, you can sign up to commit to pray and fast. You choose however many meals you want to do to fast, but we are asking people to pray and cry out to God for our nation on Monday. When we come back, we will re-up with our questions and continue going to the phones. Jim?
Yes, sir. Just real quick, JJ texted in, and he said last night they had nearly 600 in attendance and raised almost $100,000
wow.
at the pro-life dinner. Isn't that great?
Wow, that is awesome. Thank you, Lord, for that blessing. And folks, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll have more of Trivia Friday. Please remember to come back.
On today's issues, we may have hit on a reason for the dysfunction in our government.
There's a new study out that says over time, lies may desensitize the brain to dishonesty. I think that's an explanation for what's going on in D.C.
And News Director Fred Jackson will be in to talk elections.
And any other news that breaks during the weekend.
That's next time on Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas. This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way. That's one of the places we'll visit is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, it's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. Come see the land of the Bible with us in March.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. It was Chicken Nugget Day at Tennessee's Farragut High School, so Eagle Scout Carson Collar helped himself to 6 nuggets in the lunch line. After he swiped his payment card, the lunch lady accused Carson of stealing an extra nugget. Now, his account clearly showed he had paid for that extra nugget, but it did not matter. Carson was suspended for theft of property. His mother was so upset, she posted a message about the incident on Facebook, along with screenshots showing he had paid for that extra nugget. The following day, the principal apologized and expunged Carson's record, ending the great chicken nugget caper of 2016. It's just too bad the school overreacted in the first place and falsely accused a good teenager of wrongdoing. So to help make things right, I reached out to the local Chick-fil-A, and we arranged to get Carson a gift card, so now he can eat as many chicken nuggets as his heart desires. I'm Todd Starnes.
That is the theme song to Leave It to Beaver, one of the all-time Fair to Midland shows. I was going to say one of the all-time great shows. I'm not sure it's one of the all-time great shows, but anyway, we're back. It is Trivia Friday. Ed Vitagliano, Jim Stanley, and Kendra White, your affable hosts. Kendra, you have the scripture reference from, I think it was Todd from North Carolina.
Yes.
From Lamentations.
So Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Amen. Love that. Mm. Folks, by the way, on Tuesday night, here at American Family Radio, we will be having election coverage, Decision 2016. And we'll Tim Wildman will be here, Brian Fisher, I'll be here. We'll have a number of guests, and we will be covering the election returns starting at 6 p.m. Central Time. And that is the hour, Eastern Time, 7 o'clock, when a lot of the polls close. So we will probably be getting some initial results right off the bat. So we encourage you to join us here at American Family Radio for Decision 2016. Now, Jim, did you want to sing Great Is Your Faithfulness?
No, I'm good. I was going to throw in, though, that we'll have Sandy Rios, Todd Starnes, Tony Perkins, and several other folks. Todd will be joining us at 8:30 Central.
Okay.
And that's been confirmed. So Sandy, I think, is going to jump in at 7:30 Central. And so they will
good
have
a lineup of guests.
Yeah. So we'll take care of you on Tuesday night.
All right. All right. Well, we're going to give our questions again. And remember that one of these questions is a mystery question. If you answer it correctly, you get a free prize. So we will cover that because actually, I'm not sure what the free prize is.
Hey, you know what?
Is it a coffee mug
Let's do another travel mug.
A travel mug. All right. Yep. Another travel
there
mug.
There you go.
All right. All right, Jim, go ahead and give your questions again.
All right, today is National Candy Day, and the world's largest chocolate bar weighed how much?
Ooh.
So how much did the largest chocolate bar weigh? And then what color is a Himalayan poppy? That's a flower. And just,
we
you know,
clarify.
For clarification. And then if I'm going to add one. If you were painting with tempura, I believe that's the correct pronunciation.
Painting?
What? Huh?
Painting with?
Painting.
Him?
Yes. Okay. You were painting with tempura. What would you be using to bind together the color pigments?
That's a, I think it's chocolate. I think shrimp. It's chocolate.
Is,
the largest chocolate bar.
And well, think of how many paintings you could do with that. It'd be finger licking good.
Finger licking good. Stop eating the paint. I told you that. It's bad
best
for you.
Best painting ever.
Best. That's right. Smells like chocolate. All right, here are my three questions. The Canadian Football League came into existence in 1958 and has the same rules as the National Football League. Is that true or false? Now, I will give you a hint. The
You're going to give a hint on a 50-50?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
You'll understand when I say. The question is not regarding the year that it was founded. The question is regarding the same rules as the National Football League.
Okay.
All right. See, I'm not as dumb as
not
I look.
Too generous.
All right, here's my second question, Bible question in the Old Testament. How many books fall into the category of major prophets? Somebody called in and guessed 4. That is incorrect. So that narrows it down. Mm-hmm. 66 books in the Bible. So you know you've got all those other choices. My third question, what was the first Disney animated feature film set in America?
That's a great
question.
Yeah.
Okay,
we took a stab at it before, and we were surprised. I'm sorry,
yes.
Kendra.
No, I was just going to go into my questions here.
Go ahead.
So number one, the name Starbucks, like the coffee company, comes from what book of classic literature? Is it Crime and Punishment, Moby Dick, or Great Expectations?
I'm glad. This is a good question. I want to hear the answer to this. That's excellent.
Question number two, in bowling, 3 consecutive strikes is called a turkey. What is 4 consecutive strikes called?
Impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the third question, what tribe was Paul from?
Great.
Oh, there you go. Look at
the
that.
Bible question.
Good Bible question. All right, let's bring them up.
All right, we're Learning University continues with John. John calling from Texas. Welcome to Trivia Friday. Hello,
how
John.
How you doing?
Good.
John, you want to ask or answer or do both?
I like to do both.
Okay, which one you want to try to answer?
The Starbucks question.
Oh, I think he's got it. The name Starbucks comes from what book of classic literature? Crime and Punishment, Moby Dick, or Great Expectations?
It comes from Moby Dick.
Yes, and do you know where, what the reference is?
It's his first mate.
Yes, that's correct, and his name was Starbuck.
Starbuck.
Wow.
Huh. All right. Because Starbuck was also one of the characters on Battlestar Galactica,
well, there
wasn't
you
it?
Go. That's
and there's
right.
no connection to both Starbuck
times.
And coffee.
Yeah, both times. So here I am. You guys are talking classic literature. I'm going right for the science fiction. I haven't seen the modern one, but the old Battlestar Galactica,
yeah.
I remember the
you know, you take
70s
Lauren,
or 80s.
You take Lauren Green off the Ponderosa and put him in a starship. You
yes. you're scraping the bottom of the barrel, aren't you? I forgot about Lauren Green. All right, John, what's your question for us? Brother, congratulations, by the way, on your answer. What's your question for us?
All right, my question is, if Jesus was God, then who was he worshiping?
If Jesus were God, who is he worshiping? Okay, now are you trying to start a theological argument? because we don't do that on this show. So,
it's just something I heard. So I just
okay. Well, he was worshiping the Father.
Oh, okay. No, I heard it the other day, and I thought you guys answered the question. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
It's okay. It's just that we do have a bunch of different theological backgrounds from our listeners, so we always, at least on this show, try to stay away from theological disagreements.
Well, I can tell you on Exploring the Word we do as well.
They do?
We try to talk and dwell on things that unite us, not the things that separate us.
All right,
so,
John.
Thanks, John.
But that's okay. First-time caller. We appreciate all of our listeners, and thanks for chiming in. All right. Okay.
All right.
We lost
thanks,
John.
He has gone away.
Okay.
Scott from Louisiana. Welcome to. Oh, sorry about that. Scott from Louisiana. Welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hi. I'd like to ask and answer.
All right.
Okay. Good. Gets right to the point. Scott, which question you want to try to answer?
The chess question.
Oh,
that one's already been answered.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yep. Sorry, it was bishops.
Bishop, the only one
that can move that's the one that can
only move
diagonally. Yep.
Did you want to take a shot at another question, Scott?
I thought you said what four pieces could move diagonally. I'm sorry.
Well, there are four bishops.
Two on each side of the board.
Look, Ed's got a 50-50 here, true false.
You want to
feeling risky.
you want to take a shot at a true false question, Scott?
Yeah, I'll try that.
All right, here's the question. The Canadian Football League came into existence in 1958 and has the same rules as the National Football League. Is that true or false?
False.
That is false. That is absolutely
false.
Correct. I think they have a bigger field, a wider field. They have 12 players. There's a number of differences, but it is very similar to the game played by the National Football League. Good for you, Scott. What's your question for us?
Okay, this was off of a movie. It's a mathematical question. I don't know if any of y'all are good at math, but
I'm not. But go ahead.
The question is, if you got a 3-gallon jug and a 5-gallon jug, how can you get exactly 4 gallons in the 5-gallon jug?
That is a great question. I have heard this before, not just on a movie, but all right, we're going to talk amongst ourselves here for a second, Scott. Don't say yes or no yet. You guys ever heard this little? It's not really a riddle. It's a
if you have a 3.
Well,
gallon,
it has to do with pouring stuff out.
Yeah,
I start full. So let's see.
If you have a 3-gallon jug and a 5-gallon jug, how do you get exactly 4 gallons in the 5-gallon jug?
I would use a pump with a meter and just fill the 5-gallon jug to
okay,
four.
Here we go. You're gonna pour half out of each. And
well,
then
you, but
pour,
you won't know.
Well, you can measure half just by seeing it, and then you're gonna pour whatever's half of the 3 into the 5.
Well, if you can
four.
If you can measure it, then you just pour 4 gallons in the 5-gallon.
No. You're referencing it to the jug. You see the jug, right?
Yeah.
Just say, that's half of that.
Let me
pour
tell
the
you.
Half of the 3.
Yeah,
into the
I know.
Five.
We may not debate theology, but we're
this,
all
guys.
Over math.
I got this one. I don't
all right.
know. Am I right?
It's something like this. You fill up the 5-gallon jug, and then you fill up the 3-gallon jug.
Right.
Okay. That means you've got 2 gallons left in the 5-gallon jug, and that's as far as I can go.
Well,
so in other words, at that point, you know what 3 gallons and 2 gallons
you
is.
You are my boss,
yeah.
And I respect and admire you, but I'm going with Kendra.
Okay. All right, Scott, you heard Kendra's answer. Jim agrees with her. You heard my partial answer. I can't remember how this puzzle solved. So you got to bail us out, Scott. Tell us what you know.
You came the closest. And in the movie, you have to be exact. I'm not going to make a reference to the movie, but in the movie, you have to be exact. So you take the 5-gallon jug, fill it up, pour 3 gallons in the 3-gallon jug, pour that out. There's 2 gallons left in the 5-gallon jug. Pour that into the 3-gallon jug, fill the 5-gallon jug back up, pour a gallon out, and you got exactly 4 gallons.
Okay. All right. Well,
oh, you have a third container.
No,
pour it out.
Okay.
You just pour the water out of the 3-gallon jug, and then what's left in the 5-gallon jug will be exactly 2 gallons. You pour it in the 3-gallon jug, and then fill the 5-gallon jug back up. Pour 1 gallon out, you got exactly 4 gallons.
Well, how do you know when you pour 1 gallon out?
Hold on.
I'm going to think about this afternoon.
Right.
I just tapped out of that question.
I'm going to think about this all day, and then it'll hit me later in the afternoon.
Hey, Scott, because we have other callers waiting to get on and who are rolling their eyes right now, I'm going to have to accept your answer and say kudos. It's a great question, and it's I love those kind of puzzles, but I normally don't do very well at them, as you can tell. So we are going to move on.
Hey,
we will take your.
I just want to say thank y'all. I love y'all station. I listen to you every day on the road on a truck driver, and I love y'all.
All right, hey,
thanks,
we love
Scott.
You. We love all our listeners. Thank you, Scott. Be safe out there, brother.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, let's move on.
Bobby in Texas, welcome to Learning University.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you. Ed, I'm going to have to speak for Tim here. You're not supposed to take hook, line, and sinker. By the time you get to the sinker, you should have realized
Wow.
What now?
You have been admonished, sir.
Okay, I took something hook, line, and sinker.
Actually, in Ed's defense, that wasn't him, that was me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ed. I'm so sorry.
Hey, Bobby, if you're really sorry, you just send me food, brother. That's how I know if you're really sorry. All right, that's all right.
Well, I want to do both.
All right, which question you want to try to answer?
Well, I definitely knew the chess one, but I'm going to go with the prophets because that happens just to be where I'm at.
All right, well, here's the question. Let me repeat it. In the Old Testament, how many books fall into the category of major prophets?
I think it's three. Daniel, Ezekiel, and Isaiah.
Okay, you are close. Okay, you're close, but that is incorrect. Oh, that's harsh. But now, those that you named, Bobby, okay, are major prophets.
Mm-hmm. That'll help somebody.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm only missing one or two.
Well, or three, or four. I can't answer that.
So he listed Isaiah.
He listed Ezekiel, Daniel, and Isaiah. Those are considered major prophets.
Do you know in the day and age we live in, you couldn't have major and minor prophets because someone would be offended.
Somebody would, their feelings would be hurt.
They'd just be hurt. They'd need a safe space.
What?
Because it would be
I'm a minor prophet?
You are a microaggressor is what you are. Bobby, what's your question for us?
Well, my question comes straight out of Ezekiel.
Oh.
I want to know what is repeated over and over in the book of Ezekiel. What does the Lord call forth?
What does the Lord call forth? Okay, let me see. We're going to talk amongst ourselves here for just a
Ezekiel's
second.
Ezekiel's a crazy
Don't say
one.
Yes or no. He calls forth for witnesses against Israel. I don't know if that's what Bobby's thinking.
Oh, I was. I don't know.
He does, but that's not what he says over and over.
Okay.
It's repeated lots of times.
Okay.
All right.
Well, no, he says, so you will know that I am the Lord, but you're saying call forth. I think you got us, Bobby. What's your answer?
He calls forth loyalty and obedience.
Oh, very good.
They will know I am the Lord, and I call forth loyalty and obedience.
Amen. Well, I like that.
That's good stuff.
We could use that in our country.
Mm. Are you preaching this weekend, Ed?
I'm not.
Oh, well, see, that would have been a sermon starter right there.
That's for sure.
Thanks, Bobby.
Hey. I love y'all. Have a good day.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you, brother. Love you, too.
It's great to hear callers say I was reading this in the Word the other day.
It really is. Yeah. Hey, let's go ahead and give our questions again. We're partway through the second segment. Some folks may be forgetting what we have up on the board. So,
all right.
Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, I can't believe I still have this question, honestly. The world's, how big is the world's largest chocolate bar? How much does it weigh? I mean, there are chocolate fanatics out there that should have that or have consumed it.
At least taking a shot.
What color is a Himalayan poppy? And then if you were painting with tempura, what would you be using to bind together the color pigments?
Oh, these are all great questions. All right. Here, I still have this one left, and people are just hitting all around it. In the Old Testament, how many books fall into the category of major prophets? What was the first Disney animated feature film set in America? And I will add another true-false question. When wolves are born, the pups are completely blind and deaf. Is that true or false?
All
right. Good questions. Okay, I have two. What tribe was Paul from in the New Testament? And in bowling, three consecutive strikes is called a turkey. What are four consecutive strikes called?
All right.
You have anything you want to add?
You
have any other questions?
Oh, not off the top of my head. I'll think of one.
All right.
I'm going to get one ready.
Okay, here we go. Lynn calling from Mississippi. Lynn, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hi, thank you.
Hey, Lynn, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
Both.
All right, which question you want to take a shot at?
The chocolate.
Ooh, all right.
Oh, there we go. Look,
it would be a woman to call in on this one.
All right, so how much?
Yes, indeed.
How much did the world's largest chocolate bar weigh?
12,770 pounds and 4.48 ounces.
Well, I actually ate that 4 ounces, so we're going to go with the 12,770. How about that? Good
wow.
job.
Excellent all job. Right. Now, Lynn, we do encourage research here on Learning University. So if you had to look that up, that's fine. But I'm just interested to know whether or not you just knew that off the top of your head.
I wish I did. I love the chocolate, but I don't know that right off the top of my head.
All right. So you had a research.
I don't really ate that much.
Over a lifetime, we probably all have come close.
How big was it? Like, does it have any stats of, like,
no, all I have is 12,770.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's wow. just for our brain to imagine.
I know how big it measured.
Oh, here we go.
All right.
Oh,
us.
Great, Lynn.
It's 13 feet and 1.48 inches square.
Wow. 13 feet square and you know,
do you know how thick it was?
No, I don't know that.
That
wow,
man, that's
it
a
sounds
lot.
Like some guy was proposing and
yeah,
he went big.
That's a lot.
Will
of chocolate.
You marry me on
and
chocolate?
And the ring was in the middle.
There you go.
And she,
and if you say no, I'm going to be eating comfort food tonight.
He said he's ready.
Hey, what was your question for us, Lynn?
If Obama were to die tonight, who would take over?
Joe Biden.
Yes, Joe Biden would.
No.
Pretty sure it's the vice president.
Who do you say?
Who are you saying?
The Undertaker.
who would take
I
over?
Nice.
Well done. That's well played, Lynn. Well played. We like questions with a little humor in it. That's a good job. Thank you, Lynn.
But we don't want the president to die.
No,
today.
We want to say on the air we do not. We do not want the president to die, no matter which political party presidents are. We need to pray for our leaders.
Amen.
So, but we do
that
like
was a good question.
But we do like your joke, Lynn.
In
that
fact,
was good.
Lynn, I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to send you a travel mug for that nice little joke of a question there. How about that?
All right.
I'm gonna put you on hold. I know where they are. I'll go get you one.
We'll put you on hold and get your information and stick that in the mail for you. How's
right.
that?
I love listening to y'all. Y'all keep up the good work.
Thanks, right, Lynn.
Thank
God
you,
bless.
Lynn.
All right, moving on to Georgia. And we have Ed calling from Georgia.
Hey.
What a great name.
Hey, I've always said two Eds are better than one.
Oh, wah, wah. You don't get a travel mug.
Ed, welcome to the program. You want to ask, answer, or do both?
I'd like to do both, please.
All right, which question you want to answer?
The one about the tempura paint.
Oh, okay, here
I'm
we go.
Interested in this.
If you were painting with tempura, what would you use to bind the color pigments?
Water.
Nope. No. Not according to the information
wow.
I have.
Well, you're talking about the actual pigment.
The
itself,
actual
yeah.
pigment of the, yeah. What would you use to bind the pigments together?
Okay, so not water. All
that's
right.
all right, Ed.
I'm
I don't even
on
know.
That one.
Well,
but you,
is,
listen.
So
and my wife's a first grade teacher. I should know that.
Well, there you go. But, I mean, you answered that with such authority.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why you didn't get it.
You sounded
that's
right,
it,
Ed.
That's it. I was confident, but I was wrong.
And since you have a wife, you've probably been there before, haven't you? Been confident, yet wrong. You what's your question for us?
Okay, thinking of the fact the World Series ended recently, I have a question from the World Series.
Okay.
Not this World Series, but the history of the World Series.
Okay.
An unassisted triple play has only happened one time. There's three parts of this question. Any of them I would accept as a good answer. What year, what team, and what player?
All right, I've got the answers to that.
Do
In
you
fact,
really?
All three, yes.
Wow.
Are you ready?
Oh, wow.
I'm impressed.
Answer number one, no clue. Answer number two, No clue. Can you guess what answer three is?
No, but I think you'll be equally confident in answering. I was about to say, I am so impressed, Jim, but now not so much. Hey, Ed, I think you got us.
Kendra?
Look, I didn't know how many innings were in baseball. I said, how many halves does this have, Dad?
Wow.
Like, well, this is not my area.
Wow. All right, see, I apologize. Wow. I would have let you keep that to yourself.
Wow. All right, Ed. Okay. Bail us all out.
The year was 1920. The all team right. was the Cleveland Indians. And it was the second baseman, Bill Wamsgans, was his name.
Say that last
and
name.
It's easy for you to say.
Wamsgans, Wamsgans.
So I'm guessing he had to catch a fly ball, step on second.
There was a hit and run play with runners on first and second. A line drive was hit up toward the middle. He caught the ball, stepped on second, tagged the runner coming from first for a triple play.
Wow.
Well done.
I'm going to look that up on YouTube.
That's all from 1920.
I don't think you'll find a video.
From 1920.
I would love to see a video of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be awesome.
All I heard was there was a hit and run and Juan was gone. You're not supposed to be gone after a hit and run. So.
All right.
Hey, thanks, Ed, for calling in. Great question, brother.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right, moving on. Learning University travels to Oklahoma by way of phone. And Stephen, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much, and that's Stephen.
Stephen, my apologies. Yeah. Sorry about that.
First time caller, first time getting in. I actually almost got in last week. I was just a few callers short.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, welcome back. Thank you for your perseverance. You want to ask, answer, or do both?
Both, of course.
Okay. You talk about sounding confident. This guy sounds confident. All right, Stephen, which question do you want to answer?
The major prophet.
All right, here it is. In the Old Testament, how many books fall into the category of major prophets?
Six.
No, man, we're dancing around.
I think by process of elimination.
No, we're not giving the answer.
Okay.
Okay. Right. That's not correct, Stephen. But as I have said, you are close. Everybody who's answered has been in the ballpark. Let's put it that way. What's your question for us, Stephen?
Okay, this one goes back to about 2 weeks ago. You did you were talking about Chuck Connors and the Rifleman.
Right.
Which happens to be me and my daughter's favorite show. We have them all recorded on DVR, and she just fell in love with the show.
You've got good taste.
But Chuck Connors, after his military discharge in 1946, he joined the newly formed Boston Celtics and is credited as the first NBA player to what?
Resign?
No, what
man?
Wait.
I don't have.
Okay.
Really?
So
Chuck Connors played for the Boston Celtics.
And are you saying that the Boston Celtics were brand new after World War II?
Yes.
Huh. Okay.
Huh.
Well, all right. Well, that would be. I'm gonna
one of those
that
things
up. That's
that
interesting.
Make you say,
Okay. So he became a member of the Boston Celtics and became the first player in NBA history to do something. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
All right. Okay, I'm gonna get kicked out of the study group.
at least
when it turns to sports. I'm gonna say he's getting the first player to dunk the basketball.
That's what I was thinking.
Close.
What was it?
Smash the backboard.
Oh.
Smash the backboard. Oh, all right. Huh. Well, Chuck Connors is that's impressive. Chuck, I like Chuck Connors even more now. Hey, Stephen, thanks so much for calling, brother. We got to take a break here, so we're going to let you go. Thanks for persisting and calling and getting in, okay?
Thank you. I love your show.
All right. Thanks,
appreciate
sir.
It.
Have a great weekend.
All right, folks, it is Trivia Friday, also called
Learning University. We have to do that together.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I'm ready.
Also called
Learning University.
All right. We're going to work a little bit on Kendra's skills here.
We're going to take a
5-minute break, folks. When we come back, there'll be more Trivia Friday. Please come back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.